This is Wheels on Fire, an absolutely fabulous podcast.
I'm Cooper, and I've seen every single episode of AbFab dozens of times.
I'm Leo, and I was a massive fan of the early seasons, but I don't know the later ones quite so well.
I'm Peter, and although I watched AbFab at the time, it's since revisiting it on Netflix that I've really appreciated the show's true genius.
Week by week, we'll be watching every episode, having a bottle of champagne, and remembering exactly why there's such an enduring love for Adina, Patsy, and the gang.
In this week's episode, Patsy actually goes into the office and ends up on TV to give Safi and Graham makeovers. Eddie's got a date with an old flame, and Patsy isn't impressed. This is episode 5 from season 1, Magazine. Are we good? Are we rolling?
We are rolling.
Hey, boys.
Number 5.
Episode 5 is rolling.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Thanks for sticking with us, listeners.
Yeah, thanks for the reviews.
And we were just saying, yeah, this is the first one that we've done since we've been out in the world.
Since we put it out there.
Some nice feedback.
Do you know what I've really liked? What? Is when people have messaged and said, since they listened to the podcast, they've gone back and watched it on Netflix and they're really into it. Like a few people have messaged and they're like, oh, I'm already on season 3. Like, I'm really into AbFab again, watching it now.
Yeah, I think that's quite nice. Slow down, because then just one episode every 2 weeks, please.
Yeah.
Joking.
And I think that it's quite interesting. Like, people have been saying whether they watch the episode and then listen to the pod, or they listen and then watch the episode, and it seems like people like to watch the episode and then listen.
I think it's better, yeah, because I've had a couple of people saying, oh, I'm listening, but I don't really know the show, so I don't really know what you're talking about, and I have to just tell them, well, watch it then. Because it is very funny. And I was thinking, well, I have been thinking since we started this, because, you know, sort of one of the reasons why we wanted to do this is because you guys love this show.
And I've just been like,
yeah, fine, it's good. But I think I'm properly, after watching this episode, I think I'm getting into the AbFab zone.
Do you?
Yeah, where I'm like, oh my God, this is actually really funny.
It's all we ever wanted.
Convert you into it.
We can finish now, okay? Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this episode really, and I know you have said that one of your favorite episodes is France, but I think magazine, that I just think this is funny. I just think I really love Patsy and just seeing a bit more of her.
Yeah.
This is like a Patsy episode, really.
This is a bit of the AbFab expanded universe. Yeah. You sort of get to see a bit more of the world.
This is like, so Magazine is the second episode from the second VHS that came out after the first season had rolled on BBC One back in 1992, and they brought the VHSs out, which I had them. So you had Fashion, Fat and France, which was the first one. That was the pink box. And then Isotank Magazine and Birthday, which was the green box. And they were my... they were like my...
So specific.
My lesser... But that's how I remember it, right? Yeah. I remember visually the green writing on the box, the neon green. It was the lesser watched of the boxes for me of the VHSs. But I think you're right, Peter. Like, watching them back now, that's even though I've watched them so many times... I was obsessed with the France episode, Fat and Fashion. Like, these three are kind of, I'm realizing how good they really were.
Like, I've watched this one a couple of times in preparation, and I've been like properly laughing out loud many times. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks a lot.
And there's some like good, I mean, we'll get into it, but there's some really like nice moments as well, like along the way.
And there's a lot of... One. Because I was preparing myself for some of the, you know, 2020 problematic jokes, like in the Morocco episode and stuff like that. But we get quite a few of them in this episode magazine as well. So I hope you're ready for some of those when we hit them. Yeah.
Well, before we get into the episode proper, what have you been up to?
Well, I had a birthday last week.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
you don't seem like really happy about it. Is it not a birthday you want to celebrate?
I feel like we're getting to that age where everyone is just another one?
Yeah, it was just like, we didn't know what we were going to do. We couldn't get reservations because my birthday falls around Valentine's Day. Mm. So you can't get any reservations for anything. You can't go anywhere. And your friends, you know, don't want to come out because they're all doing love things.
Since I'm seeing Jean-Pierre for lunch.
So it's really difficult to get things together.
Is that what you call it? No,
love things.
Collabs.
Do you want to come upstairs and collab with me on some love things?
We're collab for life.
Do you want to have champagne now or later?
Yeah.
I think we need it.
It's quite early for champagne. I don't know if we should.
10:51 a.m.
People drink champagne in the morning.
Remind me of Bucks Fizz.
Yes.
That is an AbFab line.
Right, okay.
Yeah, we're yet to encounter that one in the episodes we've seen.
Okay, cool.
Helen Lederer says it.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
She's fun. We see her in this episode.
We see her a lot.
Can I ask a question? What is that?
Oh my God. It's a bit of pussy widow from the flower.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chocolate. Since we started, I've just been staring at it going, yeah.
Let me feel it.
That's so nice.
You can finger that. It's not, doesn't make no noise. Yeah, just something to fidget.
In case I do keep this in, Peter has poured a piece of pussy willow. Oh, it's like a tongue twister. Peter poured a piece of pussy willow. From the extractor fan that is above us while we're recording.
Been staring at it the whole time.
Oh, I don't even need to go anywhere because it's in the fridge right next to me. So I don't even have to get up out of my chair.
Beautiful.
We have...
Ooh.
This is going to be our first rosé champagne of the pod. This is a Tattinger rosé. Do you like a rosé champagne? Is it usually your thing? Would you go for...
I mean... You know me, champagne.
Well, it wasn't, because last week we...
Oh, yeah, last
week.
We were all in agreement last week.
That the M&S champagne last week wasn't the best. Hang on, I'll top you up some more. So,
but it did get me quite drunk.
Yeah, we got a bit silly. We got a bit scatty last week, didn't we?
I mean, I guess the idea is, Pete, that like at the end of this season, if you do ever need to go and buy a bottle of champagne, you'll be like, oh, I know that's a nice one.
It
that
just means I'll
so
have
nice.
To go back and listen to every episode just to figure out.
Well, that's not bad.
No, because you can look at the Instagram feed.
Yeah, we are on Instagram. Please like, follow, subscribe.
And you can follow along. If you're listening to any episodes, then around the time that the episode goes up, we'll have like a little series of stories to go along with the app, just about things that we've talked about, things that we've noticed.
And you're quite fun. Do you know what? I'm really impressed with the posts you two have been doing for the pod. I think they're hilarious.
Oh, thanks.
We do try. It's fun. It's fun to do.
And if you're interested in drinking along with us the champagne that we have in each episode, we do post it so that you can see how many stars we gave it and what that particular type of champagne tastes like. But I've just poured out three glasses for us. So I'm going to raise a glass to you all, to Magazine. What do you think?
Now, do you think if this was a blind taste test, would you be able to taste that it was rosé?
No.
I don't think I would.
I like it.
It's nice. I'm not complaining.
It's not unpleasant, but I think it does. It's not a strong flavour, I think is what you're saying.
I think it's quite nice for, 10:30 in the morning?
Yeah. Mm.
Don't want to go
10:56.
Too hard with the hard stuff.
All right.
Right, well, we've all got a glass of champagne. We are ready. Let's get into Episode 5, Magazine.
The opening of this app, I don't know how many times we can say it, but so Eddie rocks in from her night out early in the morning.
Oh, God, Earl Sweet.
And she sets off the alarm because obviously she doesn't know how to use anything in her house. And who sprints down the stairs? Like, she could not be, like, fully...
It's the way she runs down the stairs.
And she's one, fully dressed at 7 in the morning. And two, she's been standing at the top of those stairs, like, watching. If she had a phone...
And this is Safi,
Safi. She would have been scrolling through her phone just waiting for her mum to come in. And as soon as that door opened, she's like, yes.
Sprints. If you watch this scene, it's the way Safi looks like she's thrown herself down the stairs.
So pleased that her mum is rocked in late.
000, enter.
It's funny. And she's wearing, like, those are the mommest mom jeans I've ever seen in my life.
They don't fit. They're like a great big flump of jeans that she's got on.
Yeah. And Eddie is full fashion victim at this point. Like, the hot, like, jigsaw jacket that we were loving in the last episode is gone.
Yeah, she does. She looked like really funky, cool mum. Yeah, weird.
She's been to a rave though, by the looks of it.
Ask her who with.
Who with?
Jean-Pierre.
She's like half rave, half hippie.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you know what it might be? Because as we find out, she's like dating someone. Do you think she's overthought her outfit?
You might have rung and let me know what you were doing.
I was too busy doing it, darling.
So maybe, like, breaking the fourth wall and thinking about the wardrobe department on this episode, it's like they said, we want to get an outfit that looks like it's very... Eddie's been to a rave, right? Mm. So something that looks like she's been out partying, but...
That alarm's great.
let's keep it 60s and keep it hippie and keep it Eddie. So she looks like a 60s rave hippie.
Yeah, that's straight 60s rave hippie.
What's the matter? Are you jealous?
No, worry.
Oh.
Just a little note on what they're wearing in this scene in the hallway. Saf's outfit, as much as it is like, you know, really frumpy mum jeans, if you look at the shirt's quite unusual, actually. Look at how it buttons up. It's got this, like, it's sort of like a double-breasted pullover panel with buttons on the side.
What do they call, like, epaulette things?
They're like epaulettes, but they're halfway down the arm. It's actually quite... it's quite fashion... Sure, if you have a look at it.
Do you think it's something that Eddie brought home once and she was like, oh, this is a bit too frumpy for me? And Safi's been like, oh,
or maybe it's like
frumpy enough for me.
No, do you know what it is? I think it's like a top that actually is quite fashion. Eddie probably brought it home, but Saf puts it on and just turns it into frump.
Yeah. Because they say, yeah, there's a line later on where, Patsy says to her, how do you make clothes look like that?
Yeah. So maybe it's like a little allusion to that, because this is quite a fashionable or like an unusually designed shirt, and Saf's got it on and is just making it look like full frump.
Frumparama.
Do you think this is funny?
Funny what, darling? Funny ha-ha.
This scene is full that idea of role reversal. Saf is just like the parent. The way she points at Eddie and she's like, I'm going to have to go and ring the insurance company now. Mm. And then Eddie's just like, well, I can get a little back on insurance.
I can't get a perforated eardrum back on insurance, can I, sweetie?
It's just like a stroppy teen. I love it.
Yeah.
What? What is it? I'll go back to bed, darling.
And then we see... I just think this is so funny that Pat's is, one, staying at the house, so you're a bit like, what is she doing asleep there?
I thought we were going out.
She's in, like, her pink dressing gown. But also, like, she's the party girl, so why is she, like, asleep? Why is she not out with... Well, I guess it's because Eddie's out on a date.
Thanks to you, I had to spend the whole evening alone in this house with Helena Bonham Carter here.
I mean, it's quite...
But just the fact that she's in bed at all.
Yeah. But, I mean, 7:30, that would be the time you'd be in bed, right?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe she stayed up late.
7:30, you say?
Yeah.
Well, it means nothing to me.
I go back to bed, darling.
And as they move down into the kitchen, I love that, like, Eddie's just on a high. She's had a great night out, and you can tell, like, she bounces around that hallway. She bounces around the kitchen. She's just feeling really good. She's obviously had a successful date.
Bloody great, bloody fun, all right.
You know, she's got a little something.
Yeah, and something just, keeping her up till 7:30. Yeah. While Saf just stands there looking at her like a parent who's thinking, you are just a horrible child.
Inside, she is... delighted, though, because she's getting to... This is what she loves most, calling her mum out for being irresponsible.
What are you smirking at?
See, look at Saf's outfit when she stood in the kitchen. She's got this... What I've already said is this unusually designed shirt, which on the right person, I think, could look quite fashion, although the colours are a bit drab.
Mm.
She's got quite a cool belt on as well. I can't quite see what the brand of that belt is, but it's like... It's not just a basic ass belt. It looks like she's... The idea is that they've put Saf in these kind of clothes that are actually somewhat fashionable.
I think it'll be knockoffs from her mum. Like stuff that she's just picked up from her mum's wardrobe. And it means nothing to her. She needed a belt, so she just picked up a belt.
Yeah.
It just happens to have been something a bit funkier this time.
When Pats comes down in her house coat, it does kind of make me think how no one ever really looks that good in a dressing gown. You always look like a bit of a schlump when you've got your dressing gown on, don't you?
Comfy.
That's why I never wear one.
Yeah.
I know you like a dressing gown.
I do of an evening, yeah. But then I do. Sometimes I put my dressing gown on. So this is what I'll do. Like last night, I had on my, what do you call it? A union suit, like a onesie, button up all the way up, which is comfy, but also I feel quite sort of...
Exposed.
No, not exposed. But I feel like when I put it on, I look quite sort of cute in front of you. I think, oh, you know, I'll look nice in front of Cooper in my onesie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a bit sexy, right? But then I'll put my dressing gown on top and I think... I'm really like ruining the look. Like,
yeah, you do.
He's probably not going to look at me with eyes of desire when I've got my my champagne's dressing gown that my mum got me for Christmas over the top.
You said you were singing for lunch.
Yep,
I thought we were having lunch.
So here we can see a little bit of jealousy from Patsy, which is, you know, the first time we've maybe seen her quite so jealous of Eddie, because obviously everything...
A little chink in her armour.
A little chink in her armour because...
Well, Patsy was always the one with the boys.
Yeah, this is right. And Eddie has gone out... Didn't let Patsy know. She's gone out, had fun, not told anyone. She's just too busy doing it. Patsy's gel.
Can't I come? You don't like Jean-Pierre.
She is a bit gel. Jealous.
You had those friends. I had those friends, well, one in particular at uni, who would be like the total slag. And I was like perpetually single. And then anytime I got a sniff of a man, they were like...
I just don't want you to make a horrible mistake again.
Oh, what? Oh, well, you're not going to spend time and just make you feel bad for not hanging out with him. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And try and like cock block you or something.
Yeah.
Luckily, I was the perpetual slag
school
years.
Oh,
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to be, but never really happened. We have this conversation how like...
Yeah.
It seems like everyone else has got these stories of like these situations they got into when they were a teen or when they're at uni, these like highly charged sexual situations. I've never had any of them. I just had these lame fantasies of it happening, but it never happened.
Not even at uni?
Not really, no.
I see brushed off the cobwebs, there's no stopping me.
I think that there definitely is you know, if you have to make an alignment between each of us, Cooper is the Eddie. I always thought I was the like cool Patsy character, but I'm really not, am I? Really, I'm the not. Seth, and you partying all night long with a tube stuck up your nose.
Leon!
Always being the one with the boys. That's you, Pete, isn't it?
Oh my God. Yeah, coming into it a bit later in life as well. Oh no, I mean, I'll take it.
I thought sniffing chemicals is what she did best.
So poor Patsy, Safi's ranting at her because she's had to have her flat fumigated.
She can't live in it breathing fumes all day, can she?
Just a little point. Has Eddie cracked open a beer?
Yes.
What is it she's drinking? What is the...
Some sort of like health...
Yeah, I can't tell what it is.
Let me play it.
She's not really the type to open a beer. Let's see. And it's before the days of like coffees in a can. I feel like you could see it there just before she was going to put it in her mouth.
It's like sap.
Who knows?
Sapporo.
Is that what it is?
Hold on.
Oh, look, there it is.
I think maybe.
It's a posh lager, isn't it, obviously?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So, Jean-Pierre.
Then we get on to this reference to who Eddie has been out with all night, the Jean-Pierre character, who obviously is an old flame because Safi must know who he is, because Safi says, oh, how long is he in town, or how long is he over, or something like that. Patsy knows him as well. So Eddie's obviously hooking up with this guy again, and it's an interesting reference to Eddie obviously being a bit sexually active, because she says she's been out with Jean-Pierre and she was safe. She says to Saf that she used...
A whole packet.
Very careful, darling, yes. Whole packet.
Mum.
But also a reference to her being quite non-sexual, because she says, after I dusted off the cobwebs...
That's a bit like riding a bicycle, really. Just something you never forget.
Few and far between her dalliances.
Yeah. But Saf doesn't seem to be a fan. The way she asks...
Is he over long?
It suggests that she can't wait for him to be gone again, however long that's going to be.
But I mean...
she does get Patsy with it later on.
She does. She wants her mum to have a boyfriend, so...
And you allow mum to have a boyfriend?
She just likes to be... as long as she's annoyed at her mum, to her face. It's like, she does it to her face, but then, really, she cares about her, but she just can't help herself. I don't think either of them can.
She likes to be a downer on her mum all the time, just to kind of twist the knife, but... She does want her mum to be happy, yeah. She wants her mum to get away from Patsy and she thinks she'll be a better person. That's what she wants.
Yeah, maybe.
It's never going to happen.
No.
You know, sweetie, I've had to save you from two disastrous marriages and some ghastly, pathetic affairs you might nearly have had.
No.
Patsy's never going to let it happen.
I mean, I know it's a sensitive issue with someone your age, darling.
Eddie's trying to be like... in this moment, she's trying to be a good parent. Like, she's like, you know, it's something that she's talking to Safi about not having boyfriends and maybe not being sexually active. And she is trying to say, you know, it's hard to talk about if you ever want to talk about it.
My analyst says I should sort of let you sort it out in your own time and everything.
She does say that she spoke to her analyst.
Her analyst,
yeah. Do you think like she flubbed her line and they just kept it in?
What, like it was maybe therapist?
Yeah, she said analyst.
Keep it's good.
Do people call a therapist an analyst back in the 90s?
I don't think so.
My analyst. At the office, she's got Bubble and then she's got her analyst. She's got the calculator.
She's like, yeah, Safi finds it hard to talk about sex. Oh, the calculator. And yeah, she's trying to connect. But as it goes on and as she keeps talking, she just can't help herself and then she blows her top again.
But Jesus Christ, darling! Night after night, dry bloody sheets!
Eddie is trying to build a bridge with Safi and Safi is having none of it because she's just a difficult little bitch.
Because she's shut off.
Mum, don't.
Well, darling.
Mum, please.
Unless, of course.
And as much as Safi likes to make out that she's the adult in the dynamic of these two and she's the parent, she's quite petulant.
She's still a teenager.
Teenager. You know, she's angsty.
Are you, darling? You can tell me, sweetie. Are you, darling?
And she's going through all that, you know, her difficult teens. And Eddie's like trying, you know, just come on, let's vibe here for a second. I'm your mum.
Eddie probably is right that she does have a lot of hormones going on because she is just a teenager.
Yeah.
I am not hung up.
So as much as she wants to be the responsible one, she's still feeling a lot of feelings that she doesn't know what to do with.
Teen angst.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That Dutch cap has only ever seen the light of day.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I know the answer, but what's a Dutch cap?
Oh, Cooper, this one's over to you, babe.
Do you know what? I think it's like a female condom, isn't it? Yeah. Because I always use Dutch cap instead of condom.
Mm-hmm. He'll always say,
get a Dutch cap or something.
Not always, because, you know, Roy's just throwing condoms around.
So when you're doing the dishes, get a Dutch cap.
There's a line later on as well where on another episode where she says she checks the cap for rubber rot as well. later on because she checks the seal on that cat box, she goes. Because she's obviously been checking it. So
she's just over Safi's shoulder here, like after she's blown her top and saying that, you know, you're not that ugly and have you read the Kama Sutra? And Safi just looks so uncomfortable.
She's
like,
so
can you imagine if your mum did that when you were, whatever, 16, 18?
Have you read that Kama Sutra I gave you? No!
Trying to talk to you about the sex that you've had, I think I would be Safi right here. I'd be like,
absolutely
mortified.
Yeah. Safi is fully like having a panty attack.
Safi's doing a combination of like intense eye rolling and just trying to breathe through the embarrassment,
dying inside.
I'm a bit embarrassed to talk about it, aren't you, sweetie?
Trying to she's never scrubbed those dishes harder.
Because Eddie's like on a roll because she's had a bit of sex. She thinks she's like
She's top of the world.
Top of the world now, so everyone should be having sex.
Yeah. Endorphins are kicking through her body.
She's still buzzing.
I don't want a little moustached virgin for a daughter.
A little moustached virgin. Yeah, it's so out of order.
It's out of order.
She's just gone fully, and then Safi obviously gets her back up. But yeah, she's so mean to her. And dry bloody sheets, like she's expecting like Safi to be wet dreaming all over her bed. It's just that, it's so gross. Yeah.
Saf's not the type of girl who enjoys lying in a warm puddle.
I mean, no, she definitely, yeah.
There's a bit that's going to come up that I'll see if you guys noticed it in the same way that I did. It's coming up in just a sec.
Yes, of course.
Mommy, don't.
Well, darling.
Mom, please.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. You're gay, darling.
Mom, sweetie.
When Eddie suggests that Saf might be gay, Saf's reaction to it is kind of quite interesting, and it makes you think about the climate of things in 1992. Because Eddie is meant to be this outre character, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we know from the way the season plays out, Eddie would love it if her daughter or son were gay, because to her that would be cool and different and unusual.
Yes, I'm gay.
Oh, hurrah!
But Eddie is not the social barometer of normal people in 1992, right? If anything, Saf is more like the social barometer. Mm. And Saf is really affronted by it being suggested that she might be gay. And it's like the tone is, you know, really to suggest to someone that they might be gay. Like, wow, what an affront to them. Mm. How rude.
Or it also could just be like, Mum, I'm so fed up of you trying to make me gay as well. But I think it doesn't seem like it's fed up. It seems a bit more.
Oh,
like,
I guess her dad's gay, so
yeah.
And she's fine with Oliver, as we'll see next episode.
Safi's just cringing because her mum's being weird about her sexuality.
It could be that it's 7:30 in the morning. I don't need you to ask me if I'm a lesbian again at 7:30 in the morning with a beer in your hand.
She does say to her mum that she is, and her mum's like fucking loves it, and then she goes, "Actually, I'm not."
Oh, bitch.
What a bitch! Because Eddie loved it,
and Eddie's like properly taken aback. She's like, "Oh, I can't believe you just broke the news to me like that." So funny.
I'm glad it makes you so happy, but actually, I'm not gay.
Oh, break it to me like that, why don't you?
Oh my god, Eddie's got the same toaster as us.
Oh, yeah.
What, next day bottle of gin? That's how you always have your toaster.
Yeah.
Get a haircut and a boiler suit so I don't keep having to explain it to my friends, will you, darling?
What does it mean exactly, though? She says, get a boiler suit and a haircut.
Well, it's a lesbian look, isn't it?
Because then you'd be a lesbian. And
yeah, short haircut, cut all of your hair off, I'm guessing.
And a boyfriend.
And a boiler suit.
Yeah, boiler suit so we don't have to explain that you don't have a boyfriend.
Right.
Because everyone's like, why does she not have a boyfriend?
Right.
Because then everyone would be like, oh, she's a lesbian. Okay, that's... And it's like when I came out to my sister and she was like, oh, thank God you're normal, because I was a bit worried that you didn't have a girlfriend, but now I know what it is. It's fine. So if they know she's a lesbian.
Was she joking?
No.
She thought you were maybe a bit of a weirdo because you didn't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, totally.
What age were you when you came out to your sister?
I was at uni.
Okay.
So, yeah, she was just like, oh, thank God. Because we were always just a bit like...
Known you. You're not that bloody ugly. What's the matter with you?
He's not that bloody ugly.
I've seen some pictures of me as a teenager. I think it's clear why I didn't have a girlfriend.
What age did you have like hair until?
I think I shaved it off around the time I started at uni. Okay. It maybe came and went a couple of times because I remember I dyed it a couple of different colours at some point at uni.
What, like crazy colours?
No, like bleach blonde once and then dark brown once. But it was definitely shaved off a couple of times, and then after like the first 2 years of uni, then it was just shaved off.
I'm guessing it's around 9:30 and we've gotten up and we're down into the kitchen. Breakfast is all out, coffee's out, the croissant's out, and Patsy, Eddie and Safi are at the table.
Patsy's got her bottle of Harrods.
Yeah, like, Harrods. Is that scotch?
It's Harrods brandy that she took up to bed with her
right.
at 7 o'clock, 7:30. Yeah. And she said, I'll just take this. And you can see she's drunk
she's
half the bottle.
Yeah. She's gotten through it.
So she must Patsy's, be hammered.
That's their breakfast.
I would say Patsy's constantly in a state of some sort of drunkenness. Yeah.
She's her hair is wicked. It's up. It looks mm-hmm. slick. Her outfit, I love it. Love the polka dot, black and white. Mm-hmm. And Eddie as well. She's dressed power today. It's a little bit like...
Yeah, but don't get too used to that outfit.
Patsy reads her for it because it's obviously dressing for Jean-Pierre. Mm-hmm.
Oh, what are you wearing? Oh, is it awful, darling? Since I'm seeing Jean-Pierre for lunch, I thought it was sort of him.
Oh, it is him, darling, but it's not you. Oh.
Which is a diss again, obviously, poor Eddie.
But that still wasn't going to make her change it. The thing that made her change it was the sassy.
Sappy said she liked
said it.
Said
it was nice.
Well, I like it.
I'll change.
Patsy comes with the put-downs to Eddie here of what she looks like just to... maintain that control, that power mm-hmm. over Eddie.
She probably has to step it up a little bit because she can see Eddie coming out of her lane a little bit, trying to do her own thing.
Yeah.
She's like, I need to put her down a little bit.
Patsy is, she's got one eye on Eddie, possibly even going on these dates with Jean-Pierre. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't want my friend being taken away with some bloke. Mm-hmm. So I've got a reminder, you know.
But Eddie, like Patsy says the line in, your taste in men is famously bad. It's true.
Yeah,
it's true. She's not lying. I mean, two failed marriages she saved her from. Or did Patsy ruin them?
Oh, what a great friend you are, Patsy.
Is she that friend ruined, you know? Is she the bad friend?
She's no, the saboteur.
Safi knows.
I think Eddie's got really, really jank taste in men.
I think it'll definitely be a combination.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Marshall isn't hot. Well, I mean, he's a little bit loony bin, but I think that's what LA does to him.
But even when we see some of the guys that Eddie will have hookups with later on in the series.
Oh, the gardener was nice. Do you remember the one on Fish Farm?
Yeah, but what about Bettina's husband?
Oh, yeah. That was just a fuck.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Explicit language.
Yeah. That was just a bonker.
That was just an encounter. No, we can swear. Yeah. Please don't swear.
It's got explicit language
on our podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm joking.
Podcast. I'm joking. Yeah, swear. Of course we can.
But Saf calls it out. Saf's saying to Patsy, oh, what a great friend you are. Yeah. Because she's looking at her like, you're not a good friend to my mum. You're just trying to hold her back.
Yep. Yeah.
Don't make me have lunch on my own.
Oh, sweetie, you can get someone to have lunch with.
Go on.
They both like to crawl at each other, don't they? And everyone, Eddie and Patsy, they go into that baby voice of, oh, go on, let me do that. And then they're like, remember when Patsy did it to Justin? And she was like, because she wanted that gift or
present.
Yeah, oh, Justin.
Yeah.
And then she does it to Eddie now. And she's like, oh, don't make me go for lunch on my own. And
it
then
worked.
Eddie does it to Saf. And she's like, make mama a cup of coffee. It's like their fallback thing to act like a kid and be really cruelly to get what they want.
True.
It's just the smirk Patsy gives when she gets her own way to Safi. It's like the smirk. It's like, fuck you.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, good.
All right, you can come.
Thanks, Eddie.
Mm.
The countries Eddie reels off now when she talks about the places they've sourced stuff for the shop.
Mm-hmm.
We've got gorgeous things coming in from Kashmir, Afghanistan, Albania, Ethiopia.
Problematic.
Just like, is it? Because they make nice things.
No, it's anywhere where there's some troubles happening.
Third world countries.
Has there been a civil war?
Yeah, that's what Safi says. It's just like...
Has there been a genocide?
Mm-hmm, famine.
When she says Kurdish something, this would have been not long after, like, the massacre of
they've all been expelled from where they live, and she said, and she went and brought up the whole town.
Trucks are moving in, and they're happy camping.
Happy camping. Refugees.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, it definitely couldn't get away with that this day.
Happy camping.
I also, just on that, because I think the first time I watched it, I thought that happy camping just meant, oh, you know, they're happy campers, like the same, but... Yeah, it's definitely a problem.
No, they're in disaster tense. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have read any of that back in the day.
No idea.
Like, oh, okay.
Another thing to know, as they're reeling off all this and she's saying about all the things she's buying, she's squeezing her orange in her fancy War of the Worlds orange juicer.
Yeah.
Look how much orange juice she gets out. It's not even worth it. And she look how much the glass gets filled up and she takes back to the table. It's like, it wouldn't even wet your lips.
Especially not her lips. That's with Jean-Pierre. I barely need moistening at this point.
And some of those lip plates from dead Amazonian Indians. I thought we could sell them as ashtrays.
And she says one of the artifacts they've got are the lip... What is it? Lip plates.
Yeah. That's them things.
from the dead Amazonian Indians.
And she says they're going to use them as ashtrays. Yeah.
And Safi's like horrified. He's like, what are you looking at? We removed the lips.
It's so bad.
So wrong.
Like when people would have tortoise shells as ashtrays. Mm. Or gorilla hands as ashtrays.
Oh, it's this line when she says she's got the cooking pots from Somalia. And then yes. She goes...
I mean, they don't need them. Got no food to put in them after all.
Fucking hell.
There's just no way.
It's quite brutal.
It is.
It's really brutal.
But what it is it's making the point of just how unethical Eddie is and that world that she lives in.
The PR fashion.
The
look. It's whatever's in.
Yeah, it's whatever's in.
How you get it.
Rape the world. Take Heartless. What you need. Somalis haven't got anything to cook. They're in famine. Let's take their pots and just sell them in our shop for probably 300 times the price.
Yeah. Oh, they'll have paid pittance for them, if anything.
Yeah.
Different times.
Yeah. It's like the hypocrisy of...
the Western world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the hypocrisy of, if you look back at the fashion episode when Eddie was doing her fashion show and she said, I want, you know, to put up pictures of
fashion cares.
Yeah. And, you know, in the future episode with pop specs, kind to trees and all this.
Yeah.
And I saw something the other day to do with, it was some fashion brand and they were, oh, that was it. I think it was Vogue. Posted a video of the dolphins. Vogue posted on their social media a picture of the dolphins in the canals in Venice now that everyone's, you know, fled the city because of Corona, everyone's on lockdown, so all nature's coming back or whatever. And people are like, this is just such hypocrisy because fashion is like the second most polluting thing. So it's kind of like that, like Eddie's in this world and, you know, they like to post these messages to say how green they are. But it's all the look.
Yeah,
of course.
You know those villages that were deserted by the Kurds?
Yeah.
The villages that were deserted by the Kurds. The people were massacred.
Yeah.
It's like, so fashion doesn't care.
Fashion kills.
Will you shut up?
Eddie's had enough when she's
here. Oh my God. And that, it's harsh.
It's quite a harsh one.
And you can see that Safi's like, oh shit, I've moaned one too many times.
Yeah. But she's also calling her out on what Eddie does. It's her job, it's her life, it's her passion.
Yeah, that's true.
She's reading, like, you know, everything you do is bad, your job is bad.
Coups, revolutions, disasters, they're all bargain basements to you.
And you can imagine, enough. Though, if you had Safi around just moaning in your ear all the time, you would snap every now and again.
God, it's like living with a chronically depressed budgerigar living with you.
After that, after Eddie's had her little, like, moment with Saf, we sort of get the setup proper for the episode that Pats is going into her office.
And we find out what Patsy does.
Yeah.
Patsy's one of the top fashion editors on a top magazine.
And you can see the shock. She obviously doesn't do very much because Safi is caught midst lens clean of her glasses. And even Eddie's a bit shocked. And she's like, oh, is the magazine still there?
Is this the first reference we've had to what Patsy's job actually is?
Executive fashion director.
I mean, yeah, we definitely haven't had any detail about it. So we find out that she's a fashion director, right?
Yeah, not an editor,
yeah.
A director.
Director.
Yeah.
It makes it sound as though she is the director of fashion.
I direct fashion, yeah.
Like, because there's the fashion people in the meeting that we see later. There's the people who actually do the work and she just, like, she directs it. She dictates.
Much, one snap of my fingers and I can raise hemlines so high that the world is your gynecologist.
Exactly.
We've moved on now in the car to Patsy's work.
And which Patsy, she barely recognises.
Yeah, which she is like...
Are you sure this is the one, Pats? Don't question me, Eddie.
She's like, I would say 75% sure that they're at the right building. She's not really sure. But we get, as they get out of the car, we get that don't question me again, which I mean, I've never ever, until we started doing this podcast, picked up that that was a thing.
It's such a mainstay of how Patsy talks. She'll make these declarations and Eddie will be like, is that right? Or, and don't, it's very, you know, don't question me. Just accept what I say.
Yeah, I've said it.
Cooper's raising his eyebrows at me because I feel we do this to each other. Like, I'll say something. I'll be like, just go with it. Don't question me. But you also say it. But I feel like when I say it, I would only ever say don't question me when I know 100% I'm right and I can't be bothered to explain something. Whereas you say don't question me and I'm thinking, but I know he's wrong.
No. See, but he knows I'm wrong. But why not just go with it?
We're going in, like, driving wrong, in though. The wrong direction. I'm like, but I know we're driving. Or it'll be like, Cooper, did you pack the... It's like, I know I packed it. Don't question me. And I'll think, but I know it's still on the side and doors.
So
why not just say, I just seen... We can't keep this in, but I'll have to go at you. If I've left the passport on the side of the chair, did you pack the passport? Yeah. You should even go there. You go, David, I just seen the passport on the sofa outside. Let me run in and get it.
Well, it's not usually because I know. It's just that I've got a very, very strong suspicion.
Fifth floor. Editor, deputy editor, beauty editor, chief sub-editor, food and drink editor, managing editor, friend of editor, company deputy chief, sub-editor, senior sub-editor, sub-editor, social editor, special projects editor. I'm not an editor. I'm a director. I'm the fashion director.
It really makes me laugh when they're looking for the place they've got to go for the meeting and Eddie's reeling off the list of all the editors and she's like, this editor, that editor, the other editor.
Friend of editor.
And like, obviously this was 1992, so it's like a piss take at this particular industry saying like, oh, the magazine, everyone's an editor, everyone's a director, all these different things. But like now, this is quite often how a company is now, because I know like in some of the companies I've worked at, well, no, everyone's called everyone's called a director. Director doesn't mean the one person sat at the top. Yeah. You've got, you know, several managing directors and then everyone's called a business director or operations director.
Account manager.
Patsy Starring.
Hi, Mags. You know Eddie.
Yeah.
Hi.
We now get to meet the fabulous, wonderful Kathy Burke.
Yeah.
And she is obviously...
Maybe she's like the...
I think she's the editor.
Yeah, but she's not the owner.
Chief editor, I think she is.
Chief editor, but she's not like the publisher.
No, the publisher is, we find out later on, that guy in New York with the mask on his face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're yet to come to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Magda is such a wicked character. She's... Magda is like who Patsy would want to be.
She's fabulous and she puts you in perspective, darling.
Magda's fully in charge. She doesn't give a shit. She knows what she's doing. She's getting shit done.
She's very fun. And she has that so funny, the line.
We need to drum up some more advertising revenue. We've lost Swiss watches, Lancer and Nivea, and all my tampons have dropped out.
Oh, dear.
We get to meet the fabulous, who we love, Helen Lederer.
As Katrina.
As Katrina.
Maybe we could do some lovely photos.
And Harriet Thorpe, who is Fleur.
Fleur and Katrina.
Katrina.
Moist is my word du jour.
Who are a staple for right up to the movie.
I mean, I knew Absolutely Fabulous less well, but you know what I know? What was it? Harriet Thorpe from More? The British Empire?
Yes. Yes, she was a receptionist.
Yes, Miss British. She kept her baby in the drawer.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yes, Mr. British.
Good. And Helen Lederer is wearing a very Beetlejuice inspired jacket.
Beetlejuice jacket and
the
Beatles hairdo.
And the Beatles hairdo. Ooh. Yeah, exactly right. Very black and white.
The hair's very Betty Boo. Magda says she wants a new car, so she's telling Katrina to do a feature in the magazine this month on a new car so that she can get one.
Do something about a car. I need a new car, a nice one, no rubbish.
And I reckon this is probably what goes on in a lot of these things.
100%. Yeah.
The people who are in charge are like, I want one of those products, so I'll do a feature. It's like
Instagram.
It's like influencers doing features for just products that they want. They're like, I need some champagne, so I'll do a feature for champagne. And I hasten to add, none of the brands that we have used in the pod so far have said, where are our free crates?
Yeah.
Where's that? We just sat here drinking Tattinger Rosé, saying how nice it is. Where's our free crate of champagne Tattinger, eh?
I mean, this hasn't
got over 100K.
It'll happen.
Well, bound to happen. Yeah. They're sitting around this table in the meeting. They've got like 6 bottles of yellow label Verve on the table, which they obviously haven't paid for. Magda's like, do another feature on champagne and get us. I want some champagne this month.
Yeah.
And this is a line as well. She says, who's clever, who's not clever? Even back in the 90s, they were celebrating people who were not clever.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll cross her off. She screwed me. I will put him in. He screwed me.
Don't include her. She screwed me. Do include him because he screwed me. Yeah. That's a good line. Yeah.
Just because some old granddad invented penis envy doesn't mean someone has to lick their boots.
Kathy Burke, I wonder if she wrote her own lines because she's a fabulous writer as well.
Right, beauty, make it quick.
Douching with mint is a thought.
Douching with mint.
Oh, I didn't even realise that.
I've never seen that. That is the first time I've seen that line. Douching with mint is a thought. And it does.
This is one of the comments about beauty and what people should be doing with beauty.
It doesn't even get a laugh.
No, douching with mint.
Is it not? Holy shit.
And then she follows it up with 10 tips on tropical toenails. It's just so missed and no one laughs.
Can you imagine what that would feel like, douching with mint?
It would feel fresh.
Yeah.
That would be
fresh. How's the douche?
Fresh.
She's minty fresh.
That is, I've never seen that line.
That's brilliant.
Douching with mint. Should we try it and let people know how it is?
Do an Instagram live.
Zing.
Fleur is reeling off everything they're going to include in the beauty segments of the magazine this month, and it's just like
lovely, wet, moist, dropless lusciousness.
Vapid.
It's just
pointless.
nothing after nothing. She says like nails, nostrils, lips
are in. Yeah. And she's going to just weave gold out of a load of nothing again, just highlighting how bullshit all of this fashion stuff in the magazine is.
Very good.
Moist is her word du jour, which I think a lot of people hate that word.
Not Sherilyn Barnes.
Moist.
She loves that word.
She loves it. Do you have any words that you hate? My friend Penelope hates the word panties.
I like that word.
I think it's so close to panties.
But,
panties. Oh, that's true. Yeah. But I think it's because it's really quite a patriarchal word.
Like, really?
Like a woman, it never just wears a pair of panties. It's always like, oh yeah.
Where are my panties? Oh my god, where are my panties? He gonna think I'm a hoe.
Moist.
Oh, I like it.
I like it. That makes me moist. Even words that sound horrible like clunge.
That's a funny word.
Clunge. I still like them. I like that word.
And I like, I mean, can we say cunt? I like cunt.
Yeah, I know people don't like cunt. Nice, strong, powerful word.
Yeah, it's a power.
Makes its point. When my nan was alive, she called that woman 3 doors down a cunt. She is one.
Oh, yeah, she is one now.
Yeah.
I don't think they're friends at all.
So we're just positive people. We just have words that we like rather than words that we don't like. Yeah. That's what it is. And moist is her word, du jour. Cunt is ours.
Yeah. A moist cunt. Moist
cunt. Too far. So Magda calls in Hamish to get the restaurant recommendation, the details on the restaurant, and that's played by Ade Edmondson.
Who is? It's Jennifer Saunders' real-life husband,
and they were married in the 80s, so they were well married at this point. And he is, again, a wanky food critic. Like, all the stuff he says about this restaurant is complete bullshit. You just want to know whether they do, like, what food they have on the menu.
Yeah.
You don't need any of this shit.
The mousse goel and gastro credibility.
Magda sums it up beautifully when she says, it's a load of bollocks, but it uses up paper, and that's what the magazine's all about, which is ultimately what those magazines... They're just trash. I remember I used to, every single month... Jesus, I had a pile of them, Men's Health. Mm. Like, those magazines, they're just full of the same crap month after month after month.
The meeting's coming to a close, and Patsy has been given her assignment that she has to go on TV.
Television. I go on television.
Yeah.
Television.
To do the makeover, because there's some miseries and shell suits downstairs waiting to have a miracle done on them. Eddie's leaving. I didn't notice this on the first watch because I was paying too much attention to what they were saying about how they're going to meet up later and whether... You know, whether they'd be in the evening or whatever. But Eddie is filling up her bag with every sample she can get her hands on.
Every freebie.
Including one shoe.
It's a nice boot, though. That red boot.
I'm not sure what she's going to do with it, but she's taking it.
And Patsy's so stoked at the idea that she's going to get to appear on television. She's like, I always saw myself on television. I was made for this.
She's got some ideas about how cool, like, how she's going to, like, break the internet, but that's not going to happen. Yeah. It's going to be like a moment.
She's going to break the network. She's ready.
Yeah, she's going to take TVAM by storm.
I always thought I'd be rather good at that.
When Patsy's practicing her, like, she's preparing her look she's going to give, and it's very, like, horsey, very teethy.
I'm Patsy Stone.
All the teeth come out.
Hello, I'm Patsy Stone.
Back to the kitchen, and what is Safi's anorak?
It's not the right word, but you know, like a flasher's anorak.
Like, we've run out of like frumpy adjectives to call her, because
I swear
it's like
to God,
off of freaking EastEnders or Emmerdale.
It's
or something
exhausting.
Like that. Yeah.
Both my granddad and my nan had that anorak. Several of them.
The
in various
anorak.
Tones of beige and grey.
We've paused that as she's like, you can't even see her with the background.
No.
Oh,
it could be anyone.
The wall.
It's so bad.
And we have had some suggestions from episode one when we were talking about what that middle drawer is in the fridge.
Mm.
So we put it on the stories, and some people came back and said, I think a general consensus seemed to be that it was the champagne cooler. But it's not, because, and I've noticed it a couple of times, every time they go for the fridge for a bottle of champagne, it's always in the top one. So we're still at a loss at what this middle shelf is.
My money's still on quick freeze. In this scene where we're back in the kitchen and Patsy's having the interaction with Safi, where they're talking about how the TV makeover has not really worked out right, and the people who Patsy was meant to be making over have just sodded off because they didn't like Patsy's ideas.
Selfish peasant.
Oh, I'm weeping.
On that swig of champagne that Patsy takes from her lips...
Funny way to put it.
Is it not right?
No, it's just funny.
Oh, is it?
Carry on.
Just the word lip.
As she takes it from her lips.
A light bulb moment.
Yeah, she has a light bulb moment. I love it. Because Safi's gone up the stairs. She's got these two fabulous outfits, which no one's going to wear. She's got to go onto television tomorrow.
She needs a couple of miseries.
She needs some miseries to go on to
Who
TV.
Is more miserable?
Or poorly dressed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The light bulb's there. The idea is there. Time to execute this.
I like that she knows that she's going to have to sweet talk her and try and win her round. So she grabs the daisies from the vase, and before she's like turned around and left the scene, she's already put that fake smile on. And yeah. She's like, okay, I need to switch it on.
Safi, she's ready.
Safi's room.
Oh, Safi's jackups.
Me. She's sitting there with like the tape recorder in her knee, listening to classical music.
Such a dick. She's so annoying.
Bedroom. I mean,
so where are we?
Just like, we've moved into Safi's bedroom. We know that Patsy's come. Why do I always get the names mixed up?
I know. Because you're drunk. It's because we're drunk.
Yeah. Anytime we get a sniff of champagne. So where champagne.
So where are we? We are in Safi's room, which does look like a padded cell. It's really dark in there. She's got the curtains drawn. She's got...
oppressive wallpaper.
Yeah, oppressive wallpaper. She's got a tape recorder on her bloody knee.
Listening to classical music. It's like they've sat in a meeting and went, how can we make Safi be the most miserable, boring person in existence? And let's just put it all there. She's in her single bed. She's 18. She's got it in her knee. She probably just likes the heat from the batteries on her groin.
Don't bother.
In the bedroom, we have the first kind of quite prolonged interaction between Safi and Patsy on their own without anyone to intervene.
Scene.
I know I pretend to hate you and you pretend to hate me.
I do hate you.
Love it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
The lights are low. It's quite intense. It's quite enclosed.
I feel like even though there are some funny lines, I feel like it is quite dramatic. I mean, it's just like well acted. There is tension.
I nursed her through her last years.
Because they're both arguing at each other, arguing over what each of their respective relationships with Eddie is.
Yeah.
What kind of friend are you?
What kind of daughter are you?
Safi cares about her. Yeah, so they're fighting over who has Eddie's best interests.
And Patsy's still trying to get Saf on board with doing what she wants with this makeover. So she's like, I know, you know, we pretend to hate each other. Saf's like, I do hate you because you've always resented me.
Yeah.
And it's funny
the day I was born.
Before.
It's funny how we've been referring to Saf as being dressed like a missionary the whole way through.
Yeah.
When we get this line from Pats, which I'd forgotten about, where she says...
You may dress like a Christian, but the similarity ends there.
This is what you think, Pete. You are always saying that Saf does it to torture Eddie, to make her... She dresses like that. Because you know what we said?
She acts the way she is.
Saf was at home on her own.
Yep.
In the France episode.
She was much more cash.
Yeah. A little bit of chest showing, relaxed. And then when Eddie's around, she's like, I'm going to button up. I'm going to look really miserable.
It's like, yeah, I need to turn it on. I'm convinced of it.
How long does it take you to get the crease so crisp down the front of your jeans, you torturer?
Patsy's calling her out. She's seen it. Patsy's like, I know what you're doing.
There's so much going on in this scene. They're fighting over her mum, but Patsy wants to get her own way for the makeover. It's brilliant.
For you.
Patsy resorts to exactly the same sort of tactics Eddie would do. If you can't get it from just giving, first of all, what she considers to be logical answers, she'll then try with the baby, you know, please can you do it? Please do it for me. Which then, after that, will usually
break
come a tantrum.
To the anger. Yeah. They're cut from the same cloth, Eddie and Patsy.
At least your mother wanted you.
We've moved on to Patsy not quite getting what she wants yet, and she's going down the route of sympathy.
Yes.
Which
drama. She's
and
about
drama.
To do, she's delivering a performance here.
She really
now,
is.
Now, you know, it gets... I think it strikes a chord with Safi because she goes, I'm sorry. When Patsy says, you know, her parents are dead and Safi feels a little bit bad. Let's go down this route. Let's do it because this might actually work.
She's got her on the hook now because she got that I'm sorry. She knows that she's
exactly
got her
right. So she's got her on that bit. So Patsy's about to tell a story which I feel like she feels like is going to win her over, but she's, what are we saying? She's secretly giving it away. She doesn't mean to give it away.
She looks like she's bullshitting. Like she's like, fuck, I'm just going to reel her in with the most sympathetic story I can
but
find.
But it's the truth.
It's the truth. We find out at the end of the episode that this is actually all true.
So Pats is obviously, you know, quite a damaged soul, really, because she's giving Saf this story about her tragic upbringing, but actually it's what it was.
Yeah. Mm.
Poor old Pats.
Yeah, she's just pulling from it to get what she wants. And she's probably made up 1,000 stories in her time to get what she wants, but it just so happens that this one's 100% accurate.
And this is the one that's going to work with Safi in this moment, so she pulls it out the bag.
It was having Eddie and your grandmother that made it okay, you know, gave me somewhere to go.
We have a classic flashback now where we get introduced to Patsy's mother, who we will meet in some future flashbacks in some even more iconic scenes like the birth scene, which is just too much. But right now we see Patsy's mum spinning around the room in her very hippie chic outfits, and you see how Patsy was just this kind of footnote to her life at the time, and you know, her mum didn't really give two shits.
Get out of my way, child. Don't stand in my path when I'm trying to express.
What age do you think that Patsy is? We never see her, it's all first person, but what age do you think Patsy would be here?
I'm picturing like around like 6, 7, 8.
Okay, which is gross because at the end of it, she says that she's got her two male friends coming over and she wants to get it away and she wants Patsy to go out so she doesn't have the competition.
Yeah.
So dark.
Maybe she's older.
No, I feel like they play it like that because the camera's low down. Yeah. So I think she is supposed to be young. And I think the whole point is she's sending her out and tells her to take the keys. But just when she says she doesn't want the competition, it's so dark.
I've got something and Andre round tonight. And frankly, I could do without that competition. Beat it!
Who are Humphrey and Andre?
Well, Humphrey is the gentleman from the Morocco episode. So is it the same Humphrey?
Oh, God, it could be.
But then, yeah, it could, I don't know. Is he older than
Patsy? Because he's like Patsy's age.
Because he's Patsy's mate.
But maybe her mum was shagging young guys. Maybe her mum has got these young lads coming round.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd be more interested in Patsy.
Oh, but how old is she?
She's
layers.
Like a right cougar, and she's wanted to shag these young blokes.
She's invited Patsy's mates round so she can shag them.
Yeah.
Patsy's not going to be there.
Maybe that's what it is.
And then we flash
forward
to Adina's house.
Is your mother not feeding you, dear?
The flashback we see at Gran's house when they were kids, Patsy's round for something to eat and Gran's sort of taking pity on her, saying, you know, is your mum not feeding you again? And this is one of those lines Gran delivers that's always stuck in my head that I will describe certain people as, when she says skinny balinky long legs and big banana feet.
So where I come from, that was skinny malink melodian legs, big banana feet.
What?
Skinny malink melodian legs.
Melodian?
I don't know what it means, but that's just what we said.
Great gangling, what's it?
Gran is straight in there with the fat shaming of Eddie, calling her a roly-poly pudding.
Giving
her a plate of shaved carrots for her dinner.
Well, she needs to
carrots.
Shift that timber.
Yeah.
It's always been the way for poor old Ed, hasn't it?
She never had a chance.
Although, Eddie did say in the fat episode that Gran was always giving her sugary tea and Mr.
Whippings.
Yeah. She's giving her a plate of carrot shavings.
Yeah.
Bullshit. Eddie was straight down the fish and chip shop afterwards to buy a bloody battered saveloy, wouldn't she? Cooper.
Here I am in this place of old age. And
the flashback turns really quite dark quite quickly when we see Patsy's mum in what is obviously the old people's home in her dying days.
Yeah, giving us a very like Shakespearean monologue.
It really is. It's very like, you know, Hamlet.
Look at you, all grief and resentful care, the tyranny of children.
She looks like she's had a stroke.
Oh, she's definitely had a stroke.
She's talking just out the side of her mouth. She refers to, you know, what does she calls the nurses in the old people's home?
Just gropers of old bones.
Gropers of old bones. Yeah. To no laughter or no laugh track.
This is not funny. This is
sitting
like
on her female eunuch so they don't get hands on it.
Yeah. They can't take her book.
Yeah.
She says she's allowed only, denied her intellectual liberty, allowed only 2 Barbara Cartlands a day.
Well, are they novels?
They are books.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember Barbara Cartland with all her makeup? Yeah, she wore lots of makeup till she was quite old.
She's like, is that Little Britain character that used to lie around writing?
Yeah, that was
definitely based on Barbara Cartland, wasn't it? Tyranny of children. So dark.
Shakespeare, yeah.
But the laugh is when Patsy says,
"Oh, for God's sake, just die."
Why don't you just die? And everyone just laughs.
Well, we need a laugh after that. Yeah. How can we set this up?
How do you bring this back up?
And they've already, like we saw from the earlier scene that she's a monster, so it's not that bad.
We needed to see before that she was an asshole to Patsy.
This would have been really horrible to laugh at this.
Otherwise, this would have just been like her wanting her mum dead.
Although, you know, it was 1992. We'd still probably have just laughed.
Totally.
Yeah. But that bit where it does move to Patsy and she says, "Will you just die?" Her hair looks wicked.
Patsy looks wicked with her hair like this.
Great, that kind of loose acid. Is it an acid purple?
No, it's like a curly asymmetric bob.
Right, fabulous. The makeup's nice. It's very of the time. I love it.
Pop of colour in the red dress or whatever she's wearing. She's just sitting there flicking through a magazine waiting for her mum to flatline.
And God, if that was your mum, you'd want it gone, wouldn't you? Like, Jesus Christ, do us a break.
She probably visits her every day and just has to listen to that over and over again.
Patsy, that's very sad.
I know.
Yeah, and you can see that Safi's fallen for it. She knows she's got Safi.
Safi, for fuck's sake, she's sat there playing with her DNA strands while Patsy tells the story.
Pouring her heart out.
Oh, she's like a five-year-old with Lego.
Yeah.
She can't help herself. She has to be a geek at all times. The two conditions that Safi says that she will help Patsy out for are moving out into a hotel because she just can't be bothered with her. Probably because she hawks up all during the night so she can't sleep. And the second one is she just wants her mum to have a boyfriend. And I feel like that is Safi showing that she cares and she does just want her to be happy.
Yeah, it's a little bit of true colours of Safi here because Eddie's out the picture. She's not saying or doing anything just to wind up Eddie. And she is like, let my mum have a boyfriend. You know, this is going to be good for her.
Because she knows that the relationship with Patsy and Eddie is a little bit poisonous for her mum.
A bit toxic, yeah.
Done.
The next scene is the next morning in the kitchen and Eddie's come down and Safi seems a bit surprised to see her because, you know, they're going to do the TV makeover. And Eddie says that she is coming along and Safi asks her why she's not with Jean-Pierre. And the way Eddie says, oh, he's shooting his video today, makes me think, and this has only just come to me, I didn't pick up on it before, that Eddie probably had no intention of coming, but I bet you there's been a conversation between her and Pats, and Pats has convinced her to come and stand up Jean-Pierre. Because she just doesn't look completely convinced that Jean-Pierre is busy doing that video shoot today.
No. It's kind of her excuse to justify it to Saf why she's not with Jean-Pierre after she's bigged up that, you know, she's all about Jean-Pierre at the moment.
But really, she's just giving it to Patsy again, and Patsy's demanded that she comes along. She probably can't bear to be with Gran and Saf for the whole morning during the makeover.
As much as Patsy, when we saw her at the end of the meeting with the magazine girls, made it sound like she was super up for being on TV, Pats needs her wingman there. And her only wingman really is Eddie.
Yep.
Wake up, Pats! Come on, darling!
Did Pats just have a sniff?
Some poppers.
Jesus.
It definitely looks like it.
Poppers or like some sort of smelling salts to get her up.
Let's say poppers.
And there's some pills there, some subscription drugs, the brandy.
Prescription, sorry. I've got my monthly subscription.
Subscription drugs.com. Well, they probably are a subscription.
I mean, it's like a subscription. He comes around every week.
Mm. Private doctor. They probably are.
That bitch daughter of yours, she just won't wear the dress I want her to.
We've seen so much in this episode of Pat's trying to twist Safi's arm to get her to come and do this makeover. In the last episode in Isotank, we saw Eddie trying to convince Saf to let her go to her talk about DNA. Mm. And Eddie spills the beans to Patsy here on all you've got to do to get Saf to do what you want. It's very simple. She's got to say please.
Well, I don't know why. Just sometimes it works with Safi, darling.
It's nice. As easy as that sometimes with people. Just ask nicely.
And say please.
Please. Yeah.
Gran with a classic dig when she looks Patsy and Eddie up and down and she's like,
it seems strange that the makeover should be on us.
But also, from Gran's point of view, Eddie and Patsy always look a mess.
Yeah, true.
Dressed in their fashion.
Mm.
You know, they're not smart.
Gran looks quite cool right now. I like her jacket.
Yeah.
And later on, we'll be talking to the sports personality of the year.
Contradiction in terms.
We're now on set with TVAM, Dawn French.
The beautiful, gorgeous...
Oh my God, she's
so sultry, sassy,
legendary,
legend, Dawn French.
And we have the classic. I mean, I don't know how many shows this sort of joke's been on, where someone who, you know, they're well up for it, they're going to be the best, and then the moment they get in the spotlight, they completely freeze.
She can't do it.
And she just can't. She's seen the camera, and she is literally like a rabbit in the headlights.
Patsy, hello.
Yeah, cheers, thanks a lot.
Happens to me all the time in choir. When I'm at home rehearsing, I'm like living my best life.
Does
performing.
It?
And then you get up there, and I'm like, just fucking remember the words and get through it.
I hope it doesn't happen to you next week when I'm at your performance.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Your 10-year anniversary choir recital. Mm. Excited.
Perhaps now we could bring in our makeover spotters, see what they look like now.
When we see what Saf comes in wearing, she is banging.
Her body.
But this outfit does her jeans and her shirt. Does nothing for her.
No.
Good Lord.
Look at her hair.
So Safi's in. Look, you. Like I say, bang and bod. Makeup done. Her hair looks ridiculous.
Gran is loving being on TV on her favourite little TV show.
Living her best life in her Wimbledon colours.
She got, like, it's like peacock out. Kind of colours, isn't it? Like kind of greens and purples.
And like ostrich feathers.
Yeah. Not a fan of the hair or the headband.
Very flapper.
Flapper.
Mm-hmm. Well, Patsy doesn't necessarily know what she's doing, does she?
Patsy's shitting herself.
Patsy
right
wishes
there.
She was anywhere else.
Yeah.
Patsy with a pearl of wisdom there.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
You can never have enough hats, gloves, and shoes.
I think this is why she totally froze, because she was panicking, because she was probably, well, I mean, she probably wasn't, but she may have been fine up until that point. And then it was Eddie that says,
it's a little catchphrase or something to sum up with, really.
One thing about it, a little catchphrase, sum up with something.
You need to have a catchphrase at the end.
That's
and she's
true,
like, fuck, I don't have it. And then she just fell to pieces.
Some catchphrase.
Valuable advice there from our top professional fashion expert.
In this closing scene, when they're back in the kitchen and Eddie's trying to congratulate Pat and saying, oh, you did really well on TV. And Saf's like,
for the approval.
Yeah.
Because she knows she was a bag of shit.
And Saf's giving her the tea.
Calls her out for it.
Saf's saying she sucked.
She stunk.
Oh, she stunk.
She stunk.
She stunk.
She stunk.
Saf asks her mum if she's going to be seeing Jean-Pierre. She says there was a message left for him on the answer machine. And Eddie's like, no, you know, I've spoken to Patsy about it. We've decided I'm not going to see him. Patsy went back on her promise that she made to Safi.
Promise don't mean Jack.
Mm. Patsy's promise means nothing. Never trust what Patsy tells you. Never turn your back on her. And that's exactly what she's done. Saf fell for it.
Have you no honour?
She lost that at 14, dear.
In that little post... Well, there's two things. In that little post-credit scene, and I didn't actually pick up on this the first two times I watched this episode, when Eddie asked Patsy what she's doing tonight, she said she's seeing the publisher again, you know, just to make sure. So
yes.
I fucked up on TV. I need to give him some loving so I can keep my job.
Yeah.
So I get that. But then when she says...
Darling, even Amanda de Cadenet would remember the word accessories.
What's that mean?
Wasn't Amanda de Cadenet like one of those it girls in the early
90s?
She
was in 90s? The previous episode. She was in...
What, reference?
When Bubba went, Amanda de Cadenet.
Yeah, she's so just she's like some party girl, you know, the Tamara Beckwiths and Tara Palmer Tompkinsons of the early 90s, you know, falling out of clubs, pictured in bars. I'm sure that's who
she was.
Amanda de Cadenet.
But what's the thing about accessories?
Because she says you can never have enough hats, gloves and shoes. She's
and what
like,
is the catchphrase?
No, but she say Patsy said you could never have enough hats, gloves and shoes. And Eddie's like, you could have at least just said, called them accessories.
Yeah.
You can never have enough accessories.
Sweetie, you are marvellous.
And that's it.
So that's it. We're at the end of episode 5 and... What do we take from this, boys?
What's the moral?
Here's something you can take from this episode. If someone wants you to do something for them and you really don't want to do it, and it's quid pro quo, you're only doing it because of what they're going to give you, get something up front.
Mm.
Don't do it on a promise of, well, if you do this, then I'll do it for you, because they may very well not do it. And then you'll be like Saf.
Listen, sucker, you went on television. I'm not going anywhere.
You'd have given them everything.
And I think Safi knew deep down that was going to happen. And it's like, I feel like I'm going to mess this up. But there's that, what's her name? I've forgotten the name. It was with me. Black American poet. She's dead now.
Maya Angelou.
Mama
Maya Angelou. It's like, if some...
Mama Cass. Fuck's sake.
It's like that, I'm probably going to mess this up, but it's like that Maya Angelou quote, is if when someone shows you who they are, believe them. And it's like Safi knew, she's been shown 100 times what Pats is like, and yet she thought maybe this is the time that Pats is going to stick to your word.
Yeah.
And she didn't.
Yeah. My moral from this episode is get something up front.
Yeah, I think that's a good one.
My one's say please.
Please. Yeah, will you wear the dress?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's also good.
That's a good one.
Saying please goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Say please, but get a little something up front.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good.
There you go. I'll take that away. Quick wrap up on the champagne. We polished that off. It was all right. It wasn't the best. Didn't mind it. It's good for you too.
Yeah, yeah, great. Fantastic.
Drank it.
Yeah. Drank it. It's lovely.
Next week is our season finale.
Can you believe it?
Birthday.
Oh,
celebrating.
Fantastic episode.
We've got both of your birthdays. My birthday's just been, and we're going to be celebrating Adina's birthday. We'll have a nice special bottle of something lush for
fantastic.
Us.
So please, as usual, you can get in touch with us on Instagram and Twitter at Wheels on Fire Pod. And if you want to send us something a bit more long form, please drop us an email, wheelsonfirepodcast@gmail.com.
So I'll see you boys again in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers, sweeties.
Thanks, darling.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
The magazine, darlings, are still there.